Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. Just had a nice start to the morning. Got out, did some errands, and it was, new coat of snow. The sun was out. Life is good. Yeah, just living life and doing work and all that. Yeah, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I don't know, just churning through things, lots of deep work, doing things that are I don't know. I'm trying to take more big swings at things versus getting trapped in the daily iterative small things. So, which is hard because sometimes like doing the small things actually make you feel more productive than like, noodling over bigger, hard things to move that just take time, whether you're developing like a big new area of the product and you're thinking through architecture and thinking through use cases and trade-off decisions, or whether it's like, moving team culture, moving process change, all these different things. So taking on a lot of the big stuff. So but it's good because it feels right, if that makes sense.
And sometimes you gotta do that, right? You gotta take the big chunks at once because of if you can't just take them in little chunks, otherwise it doesn't work very good.
Yeah, I'd argue that I should only be taking big chunks. Like just because mostly because of I have a team to handle like the smaller things, and I kind of it's one of those things you have to think of as like opportunity cost, and also just in general, like what are you most leveraged to do, and what makes, I know we always think of these, what is this the best use of my time? But sometimes that's a harder than it easier to say than it is to do, right? But then stepping back, you're like, oh, I'm actually the only person that can do this, or I'm also the only person that can do this quickly in this time scope without having to get four other people involved to make these decisions. Not that all these decisions are made alone, because oftentimes you still get feedback, but putting that first draft to paper is like one person's job, right? So.
No, I feel your pain, especially hard too when there's so many options of things to do, right? Especially when you're you think, oh, I'll be a founder, I can do basically whatever I want, and then it's like, oh crap, I can do whatever I want, please tell me what to do.
Yep. So, I think we had two topics to talk about today. One, I'm going to continue to push your buttons on pushing you on SaaS ideation and whatnot. And I think the second one was just talking about a little bit about your working style, how you maintain both sort of side project work and, making a living, keeping a quality lifestyle, all that type of thing.
Yeah, okay. Sounds great. There's lots to talk about in there, I think.
So yeah, first, I don't know. So you messaged me kind of after our last episode. So I think I was pushing you on a couple of really kind of pushing more into what I was considering like this general framework for finding the ideal, bootstrap business. And I think you've been kind of taking that and doing more idea exploration on that. So kind of tell me a bit about where you're at with.
Okay, so when after our last conversation, one of the big things I took away from that was kind of an audience first way of searching. And so look for the people that you want to serve, and then kind of find them online or wherever, and figure out what their problems are, what's most top of mind for them. And I kind of focused more towards the customer service side of things. So people at preferably at like a software or SaaS company that are providing technical support for a product that they're selling or a service that they're selling. And I kind of started there, and then I was also willing to, if there's sort of like maybe an inbound sales team that would also be called service, where you call your local plumbing company, and the person that takes your, hey, I need a plumber kind of order, like that kind of a person as well. I would be willing to entertain that as well. So I kind of was, that was kind of my area of looking. And So I did a lot of searching on that of kind of, you know, what's the problems these people face and, you know, finding them online and that sort of thing. And I kept bumping up in this problem. I was like, I want to build like ticketing software, basically, is what I think I want to build for these people, because, you know, that's mostly what they're talking about is like, how do I, you know, manage all of these inbound requests? You know, how do I route them to the right person? How do I do this efficiently when you have, you know, more than two people doing this? And I kind of ran into this problem. This is why I messaged you. It's like, I keep wanting to build Help Scout. Like, they literally have all of the things that, you know, I think would solve this problem. And I really would like to build that for people. But then I'm like, but this already exists. Like, you know, this would be a good solution for a lot of these people. And so I felt kind of stuck. I'm like, you know, I see all these people complaining about things that, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, I would solve it this way. Or I could help them with it this way. And I kept looking to the competitive landscape, being like, well, who already does this? Because, you know, I want to make sure I'm not going to just copy someone. And I'm like, every time I had a good idea, I'd look at Help Scout and I'd be like, hey, like Help Scout does that. And they do it pretty good. And so that's where I was like, Josh, I just want to build Help Scout. Like, I don't know what this is.
So why do you get stuck on there? You brought up two statements that kind of stick out. One, you're like, I don't want to copy anyone. And two, you said like it's already kind of been done, and so it already exists. So why would I build that? So why does that make you stuck?
So it makes me stuck because it feels like that's the top of mind problem. The ticketing problem seems to be top of mind for the type of service people I'm looking at, and that I feel most interested in serving. But at the same time, I want to have a somewhat unique take or a somewhat unique position in the market, to be able to, have a competitive edge, right? Like if I'm going to go in and basically do the exact same thing as another company, yeah, sure. My marketing might be a little bit different, but, I think a lot of these people are pretty good at doing these things.
Okay. So it kind of goes back to like, you know, we had our three criteria within this. So I'm glad you picked someone to serve, and we had existing market. So help desk software, massive market. Actually, one of the most like, think of, you know, call center stuff. There's like so much software that that market is just like Zendesk is a massive company. I think even looking at some of these other behemoths like Salesforce and all these other ones, like big, large, chunky parts of their revenue are related to like service desk, you know, types of offering. Yeah. So it's actually, I think, bigger than like email marketing. Like I think it's a bigger, because think about it from a seat perspective. They often sell per seat and sort of like it scales up with people. So checkbox, existing market, existing pain, existing need for that, like first box. Second box, low churn, high sticky. Yes. Very low churn. It's very habit-based, right? It's very much like it's ingrained into their workflow and process. And low churn, like it's there because of that, it's like they're not going to churn aside from like maybe they have some staff reductions and they move in and out. And I know even some of these markets now are changing pretty quickly with AI. Some of them are getting more towards like, hey, instead of charging per seat, we want to charge per resolution of like a ticket and things like that. So fine, whatever. There's a bunch there, but still very vibrant market. So because of it's so big though, that also means there's more niche opportunities. So HelpScout is also fairly sized. But I almost want to say, who cares if they're like, not, I don't want you to copy their code and necessarily copy screen for screen, but also like even in that market, finding that one person, and even if you could sell to 10 companies, your way of doing it, even if to them, like, yes, they could use Help Scout, but there's enough little nuance that is different that makes it 10x better for that specific customer. Where you go look at Help Scout, why do people leave Help Scout? They leave because, oh, it doesn't do this other thing that really matches my personal workflow. Like that's an opportunity. And again, because of those other two things, existing market and low churn, like you're not really competing with Help Scout. You're actually just, you want to find, you know, and whether it's Help Scout, Zendesk,
yeah, whatever, yeah,
any
yeah.
of these other millions of other ones, like there's probably at least 10,000, I don't know, people that serve this market.
Mm-hmm.
But you just need to find one. And because of the low churn, if you get 10 customers, like mm-hmm. you could be a happy bootstrap business. And then those 10 customers could help you find patterns to find the next 10 and the next 10. And having 30 customers paying you $500 a month, that's a pretty successful bootstrap business.
Yeah. And I guess the part though that was kind of getting me is that like it didn't feel like there were, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of like those small, like meaningful differences of how to differentiate my product versus Help Scout or Zendesk. I don't think I really want to sell to the Zendesk crowd. They seem a lot more enterprisey. I think more like the lower the small medium sized business ticketing softwares. But I guess you do need to have something to stick out, right? And I was having a hard time finding that because, you know, I went through all the reviews and all that kind of thing to try and kind of sift that out. And there wasn't like it wasn't super obvious. And maybe there's like, maybe I need to use a different strategy or something to be able to find what those problems are. Cause there's gotta be some.
Yeah. I say, stop looking at underneath the competitors and look at the people. So you talked about like the people that, are fielding calls for appointments. Like, let's say you wanted to start there. So what are they using? Don't go from Help Scout or Zendesk down and try to find a segment of them. That's why I said, like, this goes back to the first part is like, find the user you want to serve and talk to them. How do they find these things? And again, don't skip ahead too far to thinking, what is a landing page going to look like? How am I going to differentiate on a landing page? That's not, that's further down the road. Right now, it's like, can I find the person I want to serve in that certain market? And can I find like something about them? It's their point of view, not your. Right now, you're judging yourself as the person that can pick out that differentiation, but you're not the user, right? Like the little nuanced difference to that person in a call center makes a world of difference between the order of operations between like a wizard dialogue doing one thing first versus the other. It might make a massive difference to their day-to-day workflow that it just like to you, that's like, oh, that's just a screen. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But to them, that's all the differentiation, or the way you do your object model might be different. And I know I talk about like, you know, referral rock at times, but our biggest thing that started us was we were like, you know what? We don't want to serve e-commerce. We want to serve small businesses, and they have a different structure. They think of things like, you know, multi-step sales processes. So we built that in from the start. And most of our competitors don't have that at all. There's actually only a very small number of customers or competitors that even think of it the same way. So everything else becomes like, if you're trying to use a different software and trying to do this, like you're bastardizing another software to try to make it work a different way, where that person was like, well, I want the software to natively think how I think. And like, you know, these days there are so many ways that like, hey, this business operates differently. I don't want it to be the one in a million business that operates differently. I want it to be the one in 10,000. And now I can find out of the million businesses out of there, there's still like, you know, I guess another 10,000 businesses that operate that way. Right. And that's like a pattern to find.
So I guess like I still have to find a way to find those people. And like one thing I did do is I went to forums that were specifically for customer service type people and kind of whittled it down to the type of crowd that I think is the one, like I think is the group that I want to serve. And that's hard on forums, right? Because you get all sorts of people in there. I found it hard to find people voicing problems that I could kind of pick up pattern matching on of, you know, common issues other than, you know, there's always the price or I just, you know, don't like them or something like that. And that's kind of where I'm at now is like trying to figure out how to find these people and get in touch with them. I don't know if you have suggestions on that. I've kind of done the
knock on their door. Like, the forum is going to be a filtering function for whoever's on those forums, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, this goes back into doing, you know, doing some other research. Like, you know, and this, the other ones, there's, I know you have, you work with a lot of construction and, you know, types of companies and things like that. But like, could you start there with some of them? Like, could you start with even, who do you know that does local, like, you know, appointment services? Who's the admin there? Go over there, take them out to lunch, talk to them. Like, there's like, don't think of just doing research sitting there at your computer. There's I don't know if this is like private information, but whatever. No one listens to this podcast anyway. So just kidding. But there's a SaaS group I'm part of, and there's a founder that was doing some sort of, he was posting about like they were doing some sort of software for like live streaming funerals. And they have it, but they started trying to build other software for them, and it just, none of it was taking off. Like, just the live streaming thing took off, but some of the other things, and so they have a good amount of trust with the funeral group. But he was trying to find, he's like, okay, I found my, more or less, these are my words, right? I found my people to serve. I like serving funeral homes. We have a good name and a brand in that industry. We just are having trouble finding another product or another tangential thing. And what he's doing right now is he's like working at a funeral parlor as a free intern for 3 weeks. Like, he's going to be in the mix figuring out where, what, not even just like taking a person out to lunch and asking them their problems, but he's going to be in the mix doing the work, seeing the machine move. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has an operator, you know, computer brain, and he's going to go and, I'm sure, like, think of optimizations and ask the question, well, why couldn't we do this? Or why couldn't we do that? Yeah, right. Yeah. But he's going to live and breathe, and he's working with someone he seeks to serve. Right. And is trying to figure that out. So I don't, again, know the answers, but I think the trees you're knocking on, or the doors you're looking under, like, short circuit that, right? Like, go right. You don't want necessarily volume. It's like, I want to find a few people. And then also, like, okay, now how can I, once I think there's classic, and again, I can't say I'm good at any of this stuff, but like user research, right? There's actually a good podcast on these user research interviews and some other ones that more recently, I forgot, it's either on like the Lenny podcast or something, but I actually think Benedict and Jane also interviewed the person. I saw him, and he has like a free, he's like, he worked at Google Venture, or still works at Google Ventures. Forgot what it's called, but he also has like a free, like, book and whole strategy on it. It's like, you can free and download it off his website, throw it in an LLM, have it help you. But he has it was a really good kind of hearing about their process of doing, you know, these types of interviews.
And I feel pretty comfortable to interview people and to, you know, do that part of it. I think mostly I'm just trying to not waste time by like going around and knocking on everyone I know's door. I was kind of hoping that I'd find online at least a faint pattern that I could use to kind of start my general direction.
I would also argue that that's where everyone else is looking too. So it's sort of just you know, so, and again, look, how many of those admins out there, if you were to survey, like, who your ideal people are actually going to be on those forums, and then go look at, like, you know, okay, are they really there? Probably not, right? That's, and are they going to voice these opinions? Probably not.
That's a fair point, actually, because if I think of all of my consulting clients, I bet you none of them post online about the problems that I've talked to them about or things that
they're not on LinkedIn. They're not on these things. They're not on forums. They like, you know, have their smartphones, but at the same time, don't use them the same way you and I do, right? There's probably more entertainment device, and they probably actually get on phone calls.
and they talk at it. Like, I think a lot of them will talk at industry events, right? And that's only like one-on-one kind of situations. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got some things to do there. That's really helpful because actually after I did this whole help scout thing, I actually went down a whole other path of like, well, you know, I should start from the drawing board and all this. And that was, I'm glad I can kind of have a spot to start here with this.
Yeah. Definitely take a look at that, Google Ventures guy for the research. There's definitely some things in there, and there's some other ones, even if I know you've done it before and you're comfortable doing it. There's other things I often hear, and I think they talk about this too, is like, you know, when you find these patterns, usually you don't have to talk to, you know, 100 people. Once you start hearing things, you know, more than 5 times, you're probably like narrowing in on what is something. And then it's still like, okay, now I still need to prototype screens and some other things and get an idea of like, you know, that type of thing as well. But yeah.
Cool. Well, I've got some homework then.
Yeah. So yeah, back to the ideal thing is like, for you, it's more of like, think about the existing and the low churn first. Like I would almost just like lock in more on that than, I know I said it's like, my other words were be 10x different to someone very specific. And I think you keep like locking into that one. It's like, if it doesn't check all these 3 boxes, and that one, honestly, for the bootstrap business could be the weakest, because it's like, if they just know me, they know me and they trust me, like that might be enough of your differentiation, right? If you think about like, you know, our friend Jesse with Bento, and it's like, how many email softwares are there? But he just does it differently. And he just has a different, like, you work with them, you talk with them, and all of a sudden you're like, I just want to root for this guy. Like, that's enough of a, you look at the product and you're like, okay, yes, the product has good things and he does it differently there as well. But then you step back and you're like, well, there's a lot of software that can do this. And really, what his differentiation is sort of his approach, right? Like he, you know, I've seen him pop on calls with people randomly to just help them with their marketing, like just happy to riff and help you with your marketing. And that's just like, that creates loyalty, that creates a differentiation that is 10x better than chat supporting into MailChimp, right? So like, it's not all product differentiation. You got to think of it holistically, you as a person, you as like service, you as all these other pieces. And that's where that, like, who you seek to serve, who you enjoy serving. And then all of a sudden it's like, that's not work. You're just helping the right people. And like, even if part of it is you, and then automating with some software and stuff like that on the back. And it's like, okay, that's how you, you know, can make it scale more as a business, but you're not really working if you're enjoying that, you know, talking with these people and helping them, which I know you do. So.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right with that. And I think even too, of like, StatusList is like just another uptime monitoring software, and somehow that has customers, right? Like it's, there's like hardly anything to differentiate on that.
Right. Like you barely have any distribution. You do, like, you have to like knock, but it's like, you look at all the other statistics, but you have existing market and low churn, right? Like, or it's like, and it works, right?
Yeah. And I think like just being in an existing market too, there's so many benefits to that. Like just thinking of the other softwares I've built that have been outside of that. It's just such an uphill battle, even for big companies, to get into like a new kind of category. But to have like all that kind of existing and people kind of know what that is, and you're just like, oh, I am this thing, but I do this differently for you kind of thing, is such a leg up, I think.
I did think one little, you know, while you are talking about StatusList, you know, as you know, when this, I've become a customer. It's a great lifetime deal. I mean, I can't turn that all around. So it's all been a nefarious way for me to save money for you to, you know, to do that thing.
Save a couple bucks.
But, and as I mentioned to you, I had a Pingdom account and I was just waiting for the annual to end. And again, not that I couldn't have, now that you think about it though, my annual was locked in to be paid for and was renewed in January. I could have started with yours even earlier because I wouldn't have lost anything because it was a lifetime deal. So, you know, now that I think about it, right. But one thing I was thinking about it in there is what one, you know, I know I gave you some UI UX little things that I ran into, but, if there was a differentiation, as I was like looking between Pingdom and you, and I've looked at other ones too in the past, like I know there's Uptime Robot and all these other random ones too, right? Like, but you seem to give a lot more nerd data, I will say.
Yes. Yeah, like, that's always been my thing,
logging more of the stuff, but like I don't know where that, I don't know, there's probably a line out there, like a copy line that it's like, this is for developers, right? This is for like the nerd data that nerds. Has these things. Like, yes, of course you can go to, you know, of course when an alert goes down, of course I can go to my, you know, logs, I can go to my server logs. No one wants to actually go dig into that. But if you have that all right there, it's like, no, I'm the guy that gives you a lot more like data than you actually even care, but you're the one that will be willing to like sift through that log or like highlight, you know, information. And you gave some nice messages with like, hey, this is such and such happened. It may be because of, you know, some DNS like load balancing might be the thing. Now the next step I would have been like is like, okay, yes, but can you ignore that now? Right? Like, but so far you've done a really nice job like giving more of that information, like more than just hey it's down, but also a little bit of like here's some ideas on possible diagnosis, here's also like I'm also for the same reason I need to catalog all this stuff, and here's the things that's what you're kind of looking for patterns to help them, but also the fact that you have all that in one spot versus me having to go into my server logs, me having to go in other places or other things, or there's patterns, right? So it's like, are you the, you know, uptime monitor for devs that want to nerd out on it? And it almost makes me think about like the fact that I know you have a status page as well. And I don't know how much that gets used, but almost like that's actually it for a different audience. They don't want a status page. Like the developer just wants like their logs and whatnot, like how often are they actually sending their customers there, want the customers to see that. It's a different audience. So if it's like you're narrowed in on the developer audience, how can you format that? How can you have more information? How can you help them identify other patterns? I'm not trying to get you into building a crap ton more features, but it seems to be interesting. Yeah, it also seems to be a differentiator that should be like right on your front page, like why that's different than other status monitors, and like, hey, you're the developer, you lifetime deal, like this aligns well, you run, like you have 5 side projects, like I'm your guy, I'm for side project guy, I'm your dev side project guy that like helps you debug when those things are happening, when you care or no, you know, anyway.
I actually get a lot of, I get a lot of software dev shops. So there are ones where they are maintaining software for clients and they want the status page because then the client knows what's going on. And so the clients have a self-serve way of seeing what's up. And a lot
of you've already built that. I wouldn't take it away either. So.
No, I'm just kind of saying why it,
I know why they exist. Yes.
And the all the helpful hints like that and the email alerts and stuff like that, there's a lot of diagnosis and suggested things to check and all of that. And I leaned on that fairly heavily in the beginning. I think perhaps my messaging wasn't very clear as to the why and the how and all that.
Like what your point of view on this is. Like
right. I think I just showed examples and kind of explained, you know, what you could do with it as opposed to, well, why do you want this? And, you know, that kind of thing. So I should play around with that a little more. I've started kind of actually doing experiments with my landing page, just the main landing page there, to try and see if I can get people to scroll down or if I can get people to engage more. And so I've just got Hotjar on there and I've been kind of watching it over the last number of weeks as I make little tweaks to it. And so that could be something to kind of put there too, because everyone kind of stops once they get to the, oh, this is an uptime monitor. Okay. I get it. Yep.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. I'd be encouraged to do something like think of it as a testing zone, and sort of like you have your top section, your hero, your basic stuff, but then it's like, I don't know how far people have to scroll, but it's almost like, I think, you know, go ahead.
But I think it's got a, I'm starting at the top because I'm noticing that a lot of people did not scroll.
100%. Yes.
Right. And so, I was getting it that there's a big drop off on my, application image. So I have like kind of a hero and then I've got like an application image and then I've got content after that. And I was noticing there's a lot of drop off on the application image. So I refreshed that and now people are going down past the content, past that image. So obviously that's decent or better now. And so now I'm going to start working on that part just below it and see if I can tweak that a bit better. Because it's got to have all the standard stuff on there. But I think the differentiator bit I think is important because I think a lot of people are comparing or at least they kind of know a bit of what they're looking for if they're landing on the homepage there.
Right. Right. Other quick tidbits while I'm on there real quick. And maybe this is changing our topic. Maybe we won't get into the other topic, which is fine.
Sure.
I think we're running close to time. But looking at it now, so one thing is another person I've been reading a lot of stuff on, and I'll send you a link to their blog, but it's this growth guy that actually I'd love to have on at some point. He might come on. He might humor me. His name is Matt Lerner. But anyway, he's got a great blog post on this type of stuff. But he has this for especially for marketing copy. He has this like everything should complete the sentence. Now you can ... So it's like so when I'm reading yours, it's like we ping your servers, you get notified right away. It's like okay, but it's like now you can get notified right away because we ping your servers or whatever. Like it's
right.
It's a good like sort of like if I can complete this sentence, that's probably pretty good because it's serving the user, right? The user's going to read it that way.
To kind of phrase it that way.
Yeah. Right. So I'll send you some things. He has a lot. You're probably going down a rabbit hole of a lot of stuff he's written.
Yeah, I've read some of his stuff. He's pretty good. Yeah.
But yeah, actually, I think I might have sent some things. And then the other thing I would do is there's a couple little things. So like, The button, the start on a free plan, and like you have the stars and all that with your image. Like right now, that almost looks like an image altogether. So it's not clear. Maybe because of the blue, maybe because of the separation, maybe it's because of there's like no nice separation between the image and the thing. It's almost like could be seen as one kind of one block. Image. And I don't know what the green dots make me think of. There's more images, but it's not. It looks like one of those like image sliders. But it's not. But it did make me click on it because I'm like, maybe there's more. And then I got a zoom in version. So yeah, those are a couple things to note that you know, there's some other conventional kind of landing stuff, whether it's like left side, right side with like a, you know, hero image on the right or just kind of funnel down the middle style. And right now it's sort of a hybrid of both, which makes it kind of confusing.
Yeah. I've also toyed with like, do I just like go hire somebody to like make me a pretty template and then like just fill it out kind of thing. But
yeah. I mean, also you use Elementor, right? So like there's some good templates in there. You could just say like landing page template and let me just transport my stuff over and see how it feels. Another one is Corey Haynes has a bunch of free templates that he has, their Webflow templates, but you could even look at them from a visual layout perspective and just like mock that layout. They're like wireframe ones, but they're all nice visual layouts as well that kind of work together.
Yeah. Feels like marketing is something you'd always be tweaking it and testing it and whatever.
And have a whole job, role, career in.
Oh, what? Wait. Yeah, that's how that works. Yeah, because I've had that too with the, I made a bunch of UI tweaks in the onboarding and the application as well for status list. And so I'm eagerly waiting for the next few weeks to kind of see how it affects metrics or if it affects metrics.
So what I was going to say what I would do, something we've done that I think is kind of interesting because I think going back to thinking of this as like a, let me see what people are interested in is like just below the fold, you can have like, you know, you could do one of those and I've done this and I like this is like FAQ type of thing, but also like what you could do is also, even depending on your tracking, I know you said you're using Hotjar. I actually use Clarity, like Microsoft Clarity.
Yeah, yeah.
It's free.
But, oh, okay. Hotjar is too for the basics.
Certain amount of how much usage you have.
I don't get very much traffic.
But at least those ways, like, you can kind of see more distinctly, like, what are the, you're almost like throwing spaghetti at the wall, being like,
yeah, yeah.
Here's a couple of questions and seeing if they're interested. So it's like, are people going to click on those? Like, so, and rotating those in, because like your top line copy, you're probably not going to mess with too much. It's sort of just like, here's, you know, what it is, what it does, why it's different, and here's how you get started, right? We've covered those basics before. But then after that, it's sort of like, okay, what can I get them to sort of like click and engage with? So I do get a understanding of like what's resonating. So it could be like, now, whether I'm saying we're for developers or whatever. And then it's also like, we do these three things, but like learn more about what we do for developers. And it's like, oh, if I saw that and I'm scrolling down, there's two blocks. It's like, oh, here's what I do for developers. Also, here's what I do for like making you look good in front of your customers. Like, which one is going to get the more clicks? Like, who is more of like, what's going to draw that audience? If that's something like, you could be like, I'm testing this, and these are the two scroll options that are just below the fold. Like, which direction are they going to go?
Yeah, yeah.
that so can help fun. Tell you about your audience as well.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Cool.
I've got lots of homework here, and I've got lots vacation next week. So, you know, wait till after that. So,
where are you headed?
We're going up north to more snow. Okay. You know, I live in Canada where there's snow, and now I want to go find some more snow. So, it should be fun.
Cool. All right. Well, have a good trip, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher, and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 Years to 22 MRR and Zombie Startups. Or episode 30, Review Sites Are a Necessary Evil and Hacks to Get Around Them. Thanks again.